Hey, Jonathan, what's going on?
I'm happy to share space with you all the time, man. Just your
thanks, man. Thank you.
You're a wonderful human being. You have great energy.
Thanks.
You're not full of shit. You do it differently than everybody else, and I'm humbled and honored to be here. So thank you.
Thank you. I always love hanging out and talking shop, and I honestly, despite some days that it feels things are moving a little slow, I think we are turning the dial in the right direction. I definitely believe in that. Right. Yeah. So whether they're really incremental, small movements, I definitely think that we're piquing interest, young, old, established tradespeople, ruffling feathers. And all we're doing is having a conversation. It's as simple as that. I think I've gotten past the point where it's not about offending people anymore. It's really about stimulating conversations. Right. Getting people to go, you know what? That's a valid point. Now let's address it. And unlike politics, I think construction people in general, they want to solve problems.
Well, yeah. So
you paint a problem, put it in front of them, they want to solve them. So I came up with this show idea because I was having a conversation. I mentioned to you, I was talking to a tradesperson who is not having the greatest, you know, final quarter of the year. And by that way, I mean not getting paid. You know what I mean? Doing the work to start off with, signing a contract. Everybody agrees on both sides. You know, everyone's happy. Work starts, work's being performed correctly. And then there's obviously payment draws, right? So work's done, next payment draw.
Mm.
Work's done, next payment draw. Client, in this situation, it's a homeowner client, it's a homeowner GC, and then it's also a real estate agent. Fuck you, I'm not going to pay this remaining balance. Go away. And a couple of them made the threat of, go ahead, put a lien on and we don't give a shit. I'll go litigation route, right?
Mm.
So during these hard economical times, I wanted to present it to you and you agreed where it's affecting. There's a whole trickle effect associated with not paying a tradesperson, not paying a contractor. And I've always said to all the young tradespeople out there, homeowners have to pay their line of credit and they have to pay their mortgage, but they don't have to pay the contractor. It's a reality that this industry faces, and the sooner you can learn that lesson with the smallest amount possible, the better off you're going to be.
Right.
So I thought, let's do this show. We put it under the banner of the new TUF. And all we're going to do is, like, we're going to bring up what happens when you don't pay a contractor and how it contributes to either the downfall or possibly the restructuring of that contractor personally, mm-hmm. professionally, possibly losses, financial. And then also it's going to contribute to mental stress, anxiety, possibly affect relationships, marriages, children. Like it affects all that crap, right? So it's like you consciously make a decision, fuck you, I'm not going to pay you. You're basically doing so much more on the back end for that one statement, right?
The ripple effect is massive.
Yeah, it's huge. So we wanted to just get into it. And then obviously we want to have some solutions too. Where do you want to start? How do you want to start?
Well, why don't we start there? Like the self-awareness, even as a homeowner who says, fuck you, I'm not paying you. Do you think they're aware of the ripple effects? Do you think they know? Do you think they give a shit?
I think they're aware. I don't think they give a shit. And I think it's survival of the fittest. I think that they care far more about their own family than the family that they're affecting, who's a total stranger to them. But they hire them based on their personality and their character and the strength of their business. But they don't care about their family. They don't. Most clients I've seen in my years of construction could care less how your marriage is running, could care less how the relationships with your children are, could care less about the relationships with your friends. Most clients don't. It's not a factor. To them, the only thing that's a factor is their house, their project, choosing colors, making sure hitting deadlines. That's what they care about. They could care less. I've spoken to guys on the show. I've spoken to them off the show where it's like, my sister passed away. Okay, well, we're going to hire somebody else to replace you.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Okay, so, but this sparks a bigger question for me because already, you know, people either agree with my philosophy or don't, and that's cool too. But I'm simply out there to say, what happens if it was to suggest that everything you do affects you holistically? Like, don't leave crumbs. Don't be an asshole and leave crumbs, because at some point in time, it's coming back to you, man. It's coming back to you. So for the guy who says, "Yo, your sister died. That sounds like a you problem. I'm going to go hire somebody else." Whoa. Like pull the handbrake here, man. That's a trigger. That is, if that's how you think, then what else is really going on?
I think a lot of tradespeople They see the flags.
Right.
They see the signals. But at the very beginning, they want to feel confident that this is just a bad day.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Fair.
And so let's just let it ride. But it's kind of like buying into stocks and you have a little bit of a dip down. You're like, let's just let it ride. Sure. But then all of a sudden it keeps on dropping. It keeps on dropping. And I think the best thing that you can do is that the moment you start seeing these little red flags, confront the fucking clients. Just confront them. Be as blunt as possible. It's a business transaction primarily. It's a friendship relationship secondarily.
Yes.
So if that's the case, be blunt.
How so? What do you mean by that?
Listen, don't fuck around. You have to pay this bill by this date. We want to continue doing this job. We want to finish it. We're doing amazing work. Everyone's happy here. Don't fuck around, eh?
Perfect. Yeah. Boundaries, expectations.
Are you offended by my harsh language? Don't frig around. All right? There's lots of missing, like, moving parts here. We need to finish this shit. And you don't want to make me an enemy. Simple as that, right? And all of a sudden, let them know where you stand, right? And be blunt to the point where, like, I want tradespeople to tell the clients, I get it. You got to pay your line of credit and you got to pay your mortgage and you got to pay your kids' private fucking school. I get all that shit. But you also got to pay me because I'm in your house right now.
Yeah, and some guys tiptoe around like, hey, you know, you got to pay the bill by the 30th, right? Like, you know, today's the 29th, so are you going to pay me tomorrow? And then the payment doesn't come through and like, okay, well, like, are you going to pay me tomorrow? Set the boundaries and expectations up front like you did. Hey, man, 30th of the month. Okay, so you didn't pay. So now what? How do you suggest we proceed next, boys? Do you want me to pull stuff off site? Do you want me not to do the work? Well, Jonathan, man, you guys are being assholes. You know, that's pretty harsh. Is it?
We're being business people.
We're setting the expectations, man. You expected this building to be built in 9 months, whatever your expectation is. We'll get you there.
You think big players get on the golf course where we know lots of deals are happening and how transactions are being presented there and followed through? You think these big players out there, these big business people, you think they just go around and just putt and all of a sudden, no, they go, listen, don't fuck me on this one. I'm giving you this contract. You're going to do the job. You're going to finish it and you're going to get paid. It's that simple. So I years ago, West Coast Choppers, Jesse James, he got so tired of trying to track down money from his clients to get paid that he had a tattoo put on the palm of his hand that said, paid up, sucker. And he would just show it to the fucking clients and that's it. Pay up, sucker. I think you need to be blunt. Like there's no more. The moment you start seeing the red flags, you just be polite, but blunt. Be business professional, but blunt.
Yeah.
That's it. And let them know. I don't know. Like I have a fucking large scale calendar. Get it from Amazon or whatever. And then have milestones that are marked off on that calendar with post-it notes. And then also have payment draws. Because clients will always want to be on the job site to go through the process. They're always going to want to do a walkthrough. You're never being compensated for those walkthroughs. The interior designers are, the architects are, engineers are. But you as a GC or a tradesperson, you're never paid for that walkthrough. No. But you want to make sure that walkthrough stops at that fucking calendar. And you want to go, hey, Mr. and Mrs., payment draw next Friday. Just keep on fucking digging at them, being professional.
Okay, so what do we say to the folks that say, okay, Manny, I hear you, I get you, I see you. You know, the client says to me, yeah, okay, but you got to keep working, just finish this thing and I'll pay you.
It's really simple. The work doesn't continue unless you pay. You have to make smaller amounts. I've always told the young kids, your last payment is the smallest one ever. It's a dime. That's all it is, because you can sacrifice a dime if you wanted to. If they wanted to fuck you, they'll fuck you on the last one. I got started in the construction industry. It was never a dime. It was like 100 grand. You're like thinking, it's always a big number, right? And then you get fucked over and then it's never a big number, right? So I think you be blunt. If they feel offended by it, you know, the other thing is that I know a lot of guys are proud of the fact I'm keeping a text trail. I'm keeping an email trail. Everything's all, you know, documented and shit like that. Listen, guys, I'm trying to explain something. You don't want to go legal.
No.
Legal will cost you more. And the problem is you don't even factor in the stress. All the shit that's going to happen, possibly rip apart your family because of the stress associated with not being paid. Whether it's a question of like, I can't bring my guys in because I can't pay them. I can't go and try to find another line of credit to keep paying them for the work that I'm not sure if I'm going to get paid. You as the GC can't be the quarterback and take all the fucking loss at that point. I know other GCs that have like gone to the crew and go, listen, we're all taking a hit here. You're going to lose a little bit. You're going to lose a little bit. You know, there's the classic of, you know, you've seen these videos on social media where the trade's going fucking ballistic and he's smashing the bathroom. You know, he didn't get paid and all this other shit. It's not a resolution, man.
No.
That puts you in a worse spot. I know that I spoke to a guy who's doing a job and he refused to just pay him. And I get a message and he starts messaging me. And all of a sudden, you know, he got into an argument with the GC. And then all of a sudden, I get another message. He goes, listen, I threw a tape measure at the back of his fucking truck. It smashed the window. Am I okay or what's going on here? He owes me money. There's an agreement here. And I was like, well, you're making matters worse now because now you're obligated for repairing his vehicle.
Yeah.
On top of the money that he owes you. So all you're doing is you're creating an atmosphere where he can negotiate now with you.
Okay. So can we hang out here for a second?
Yeah.
This is important, folks. I mean, two words come to mind, right? Accountability and integrity. And what they both mean to me, integrity, right? Do the things you say you're going to do and do them the say you're going to do for yourself. Fine. But what's more important to me is accountability. And that's a fluffy buzzword that's thrown around. What that actually means, accountability is taking responsibility for the things you do, say, or allow to occur. You threw a tape measure at the back of the guy's truck. I get you're frustrated, man. And it's your responsibility to take care of that back windshield because you fucked up, right? Okay, so we learn, you know, let's control our emotions. Let's take a fucking cinder block and beat the shit out of a cinder block.
That's the number one thing that they do wrong.
Right?
They make it personal.
They make it personal.
The very first time that it ever happens to you, you take it and make it personal. And that's the worst thing you can do. You have to have a business hat on you. You got to think, okay, so what would this successful business that you look up to, this person that succeeded, but we don't know the whole story of this person or how many losses that they had that has taught them to be this calm, what would they do? And it's always professional business. This is a transaction. And just you shoot all that professionalism, all that business shit at the client. You never jab them personally. It doesn't matter if you think their children are stupid. Doesn't matter if their spouse is stupid. Like you don't attack them. You don't attack anybody.
Hold personally. Yourself to higher standards.
Yeah.
Because when you hold yourself to higher standards, you're level setting to them. This is what's acceptable and this is what's not. If the client, now I believe in energies. You're going to send that energy out to the client. They're either going to resonate with it or they're not. And if they're not, well, we're going to learn, right? But if you're going to be, I'm not saying you're an asshole. If you're going to act like an asshole, you know what you're going to get back? Asshole-ish actions.
It doesn't work at all, right? And for the ones that I've told me several times, you go, listen, I'll just put a lien on the property. In Canada here, you got to perfect the lien, which means that you got to renew the lien every single year. That costs money. And you're doing this with the hope that they will get a divorce where they'll have to sell the property or they'll have to refinance the property. So then they can't do any of that without the lien on the property. I get it. But you still have to spend money and time and effort to continue doing that lien. Well, then you'll just perfect it and then you'll get into a claim and you'll go through the whole court process. And I guarantee you the lawyers are the only ones that make money. You will never see the full amount. And here in Canada, again, I want all the young people to understand this, that even if you go through the process 3 to 5 or 6 or 7 years, and you win, you have to now collect that money. They don't have to pay you. That has nothing to do with the court.
You still got to collect it, yeah.
So now you have to take them to court again to collect the money that's been awarded to you.
And you're a decade later, folks.
The best thing to do is to avoid lawyers, liens, litigation. Meet Jonathan Sinelli, the visionary behind People First Leadership. Jonathan is not your average leadership coach. His people-first leadership approach focuses on putting people at the core of your strategy, creating workplaces where teams thrive and achieve outstanding results. What sets him apart? Jonathan is a master at asking thought-provoking questions that spark genuine conversations and challenge conventional thinking. His deep empathy helps him understand unique challenges and guide people toward impactful solutions. As an accomplished author, media host of the People First podcast, and seasoned project management expert with a background as an electrician, Jonathan offers unparalleled experience and practical insights. Whether you're interested in a one-on-one coaching or breakout room sessions, Jonathan customizes his approach to your needs. He also travels the world, speaking at conferences and business events, inspiring leaders with his dynamic presentations. Discover how people-first leadership can transform your approach and ignite your team's potential with Jonathan Sinelli. Call Jonathan at 416-717-4139 or email him at jc@jonathansinelli.com or reach out to him on his website at jonathansinelli.com. This message is proudly supported by the Construction Life Podcast. That's it.
Okay. Okay. So let's pivot now. So now I'm a contractor on a site, and this is, you know, real world stories, right? Contractor on a site, electrical is my scope. So Jonathan's doing the electrical work, and all of a sudden, you know, James says to me, I'm not paying you anymore. What now?
So you're a contractor on a site. James is a GC.
James is a GC. Ruffin's finished.
Okay. So be blunt. Why? Why are you not paying me?
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, you haven't yet finished, Jonathan. You know, like, what if he says, okay, well, you haven't yet
finished. No. Fuck that. Why are you not paying me? Tell me why you're not paying me, and I'll look at you, and I'll know if you're bullshitting me. Tell me why you're not paying me. Do you got an alcohol problem? You got a gambling problem? What is it? You didn't manage this job properly? Tell me why you're not paying me. I need an answer from you. Drill them.
This is exactly.
Be blunt.
And I hope the folks out there see this.
Don't wait for fucking text and get off the job site.
But you're holding accountability, man. You're not moving. Tell me why. Right? You're having a conversation. Like, okay, what do you need to get through that? Right? And don't just, and let's not just submit. Oh, I need 15 more days. Because 15 more.
Why do you need 15 more days?
What do you want me to, okay, so what do you want me to do for the next 15 days?
Yeah.
Right?
You expect me to continue working for free without the certainty of actually payment later on when you already owe me X amount? Now you want me to do more work so then you'll owe me a larger X amount? No, that's not how this business works, right? Digital payments and everything like that, we get paid right away. We're not even talking about the union shit or whatever, like 90 days or commercial work. But I don't give a shit about that. But like, why? Why can't you pay me? What's the real reason? Don't fucking sugarcoat it. Tell me the truth. I'd rather you tell me the fucking truth. Tell me that there's a dependency somewhere. Tell me that your child needs a surgery. Tell me something, whatever, but tell me the truth.
And then you can deal with it, right?
Yeah.
Now it's like, okay.
Now we can assess it. Now we understand.
Now
this.
It's like, okay, cool. I got that. So what do you, so now the question is, okay, so what can we do to pivot through that? What do we need to do? Got it. You need 10 more days. Okay. Because you've got
to. Are you willing to give me $5,000 this week?
That's it. Now you can start to
continue working.
Yeah.
And then you give me another $5,000 on Monday.
This is it.
I'd rather negotiate that way until later on where you're in a courtroom and you're fighting and now you're going to whittle it down to nothing after you've spent six figures on legal fees.
See, I think that contractors were skilled trades, and yet there's pieces like negotiations, and negotiations is human to human connection that is overlooked. Or like, we'll read the contract. Guys, the contract's fucking, the contract's.
Everyone talks about contracts, right?
Fucking bullshit, man. Listen,
every contract is breakable.
Every contract. Right?
Every single, even if it's a handshake, it's still breakable. The thing is, it's a dispute between two parties in front of a third party that had nothing to do with the two parties. So that's what it is. So if you want to rely on the contract, go ahead and go that route. I'm just telling you, because I've gone through this shit before, if I look back and I were to go back in a time machine and end up in that same fucking spot, I would just be drilling that person. And then if they don't want to fucking pay me, I would just walk away going, fuck you. And that's it. Take the loss, because it would have been far less than what I went through. Far yeah. less. Emotionally, financially, would have been far less. And then take that loss. I learned a lesson. Don't ever get that. Isn't that what we do as tradespeople?
Yeah. Actually, can we hang out here for a second? Contracts? Because I love this. Construction gives you a defined contract. This is your scope of work. You're going to do this. And then, you know, we get some egotistical guys out there who say, Jonathan, you know, you're not doing this to your contract. Cool. Fine. I just want to identify this for a second, because I want to bring in something interesting. Let's tie this into the sporting world, right? I'm going to use Toronto Maple Leafs, William Nylander, several years ago, and whether you're a Nylander fan doesn't matter, okay? I don't remember how long ago it is, Nylander didn't play for like half the season. Why? Contract dispute. He didn't say, okay, well, I'm going to keep playing until we figure out the contract. He did a hard stop, man.
He did a hard renewal thing or something?
Something like that. His contract was expired and they hadn't yet come to an agreement. So he said, I'm done. And he's, whether that was a coach, whether that was him, whatever it was, right? But in construction, we still say that, well, I have a contract to adhere to. But if the contract listen, folks, the contract is you're going to do this job. You know what it takes as an expert. Nobody says to this in the sporting world to a little Nylander, your contract says you're going to go in the corner, you're going to dig out the puck, you're going to pass it three times before you score the goal. No, man. Your contract is you're going to play the fucking game. And by the way, if you score 50 goals, you're going to get a bonus. So now in the if we take that concept to the construction world for a second, your contract is build this fucking building within the boundaries, expectations, the tolerances, and the scope. Cool. And if we finish early, there's rewards. Fine. So when there's a dispute, it's a hard stop.
It has to be.
It's a hard stop.
Because you're just digging yourself into a bigger hole. It's costing you more to continue being there, right? Like there's obviously, it's hard during these economical times, right? Because everybody's just trying to get as much work as they possibly can and survive. But now is going to be the time where you're going to start hearing more stories like the one that I shared with you about that contractor didn't get paid on three different jobs, right? You're going to hear more of that shit. And unfortunately, in that situation, the one situation, they already knew they were going to fuck him over. They made that conscious decision from the get-go, right? But you have to be able to read people. Construction people are pretty good at that. But the moment that you start reading them, you have to start following through with it. That's where I go with the blood
thing. Okay, so hang on. What do you mean?
So I'm just like, the moment you start getting a whiff that they're going to turn on you, which I've always said it, every client that's amazing has the ability to become your worst client. And it has happened to me. And it continues to happen.
So what's an example of when you got a sniff that this is going to go sideways?
I would say if you've got a two-person client, husband, wife, whatever the scenario is, the dynamic, and they can't make a decision on something that needs to be made decisions on. Mm-hmm. They can't decide on which way to go, if it's right or left, light or dark. They can't decide. Now, you have to start wondering, hang on a sec, I've been communicating with these people months in advance before we actually started swinging a hammer. We're all on the same page. Everything's working. We've gone through line by line, details, everything. There's probably been some selects. There's maybe an interior designer on board. They already chose some sort of scope, but for whatever reason, they start changing their mind. But they're using the defense of them bouncing off each other to prolong.
Okay.
You start seeing that, it's a red flag because they should be on the same page. Some of the best contractors I know out there, whether it's in the West Coast or here, they have to drive the car. They're not letting the client drive the car. So you agreed on a price. You agreed on the scope of work that's involved. It's line by line item. I know contractors have over 200 lines that they get the client to agree to, right? They've already agreed to all this shit. The moment they start playing these games, they're playing these games for a reason. You need to ask why. We're going to take a break. You guys can't come to a decision. Get the fuck away. Go to a cottage. Go to a resort. Go whatever and sit down and make the decisions. Choose A, B, C, D on every single line item and come back when you guys are ready to fucking continue. But we're not going to stand around fucking doing nothing. You guys need to be on the same page. If you guys are doing this just to prolong paying me, like paying us, then that's another fucking story we got to talk about. So if you don't have the finances, then we have to discuss that. I don't give a shit how embarrassed you feel that you don't have the finances to pay me, but that's not my problem. You went into this already knowing this is what it was going to cost. You already knew that the moment I got to all these different milestones, you owed us this money. So just be blunt. It's funny how when you get to litigation, they're blunt as motherfucking hell.
Yeah.
Lying and blunt. But they're blunt. And I'm like, all I'm trying to do is cut the fucking guys, you know, in the race and just be blunt from the fucking beginning. I mean, I love talking to, Dave in Finland.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is great.
Yeah.
We're all friends. I want to get to know. I want to say good morning. But when we're fucking working, we're working. You know, like, what if you had a subcontractor that was just fucking around all day? You know, there's like just fucking around, not really doing the work. Are you going to be soft about it? You're going to be like, you okay? Everything's fine? Is everything there? Get the fucking work, man. There's work to be done here. Get to work. We set our lows. We set our pleasantries. We've had our coffee break. We've had our lunch break. You haven't done fuck all. Contractors to each other, they're blunt. Contractors to clients are never fucking blunt. They think that they're princesses where we can't say certain words around them. I'm like, be as strict and blunt as possible. And that will get you a lot further than fucking trying to be politically correct.
If you don't ever ask for what you want, you're never going to get it.
Yeah.
Right? So you're talking about this, and I love the way you tied in the litigation. What are they? They're assertive. They're aggressive. So be assertive. You're not saying be an asshole. You're saying be assertive. And now it also opens a door for human-to-human connection. Okay, you can't pay me. So what do you suggest we do? What would you like to do next? Where do you want to pivot? Volley some of the autonomy over to the client. They're human beings. They've got ideas. Maybe you're going to learn something, right? It just, boundaries, expectations, directness, the number one pitfall. And that starts early on, because if you don't be direct, what's the opposite? The opposite is what happens if you get ghosted? Well, you got ghosted because you weren't direct enough.
The other thing that I noticed and I kind of came up with was journaling. I know that you're a big journaling, right?
Yes.
And I think that every contractor will actually help them. Now, you have to be careful in how you do this. You have to let the clients know that you're documenting this entire build. We do it unconsciously through social media, but we miss opportunities where every single day we can shoot a video or shoot a picture and we can describe key details. And I think that if you started a social media page that was associated with this build, you don't divulge the address or the homeowner's names or what have you and shit like that. But what you're doing is you're documenting this as a record.
Like progress report.
And you want the client to know that you're doing this, but everything you say in the copy captions is basically a list of exactly what the fuck happened. And you want the clients to be aware of this 110%. You know why? Because then when they look back and they go, it's like the fucking rear-ending scam that's going on with roadways now.
Okay.
Where you're getting cars that are purposely backing into other vehicles to get insurance claims, and they get out of the car and there's three people in the car. All of a sudden there's an insurance scam going on. But the moment that they discover that the car that they just rear-ended into had a front-facing camera, the scam's over. But if your client is aware that you're documenting this with extreme detail.
Interesting.
On this date, we posted this. Foundation guys showed up. They did the first fucking digs. It was great. Everybody was happy. We all had our... Like, you get specific about the work. And you let the client know that there's basically a fucking record here. A record that's in your favor, not in their favor. That's what I'm saying. It's a double edge. You have to be careful on how you present that record. Where nothing there that's photographed or written can be assisting them. It has to constantly be assisting you. It's going to make the clients think twice before they want to go litigate.
Okay, I have two questions that show up for me. I ask them.
Yeah.
So now for the folks out there going, Manny, I got the ideas. Two things are going to occur. One, the client says, I don't want my place photographed.
Photographing your crew. Again, in the contract, you can write it up and sign a waiver.
There it is.
I will never divulge the location of your property to social media platforms.
Nothing to do with your family.
I have to share it to my suppliers and to my sub trades because they need to know where we're working and where we need material delivered to. But this photographing is and documenting.
And this is, guys, look, you know, I need this for my bank records too. True. We go and ask the banks for money. They say, well, what work have you got? Right here, man. And you can actually, you don't have to call me. You just go on this feed and you'll see the progress. So when the progress report says it's this, it's this.
Because you know what they like doing? We never agreed to that.
Absolutely.
So all of a sudden, if you got a post and you go, listen, I'm not a huge fan of whatever this was chosen with. They're like, the clients love it. The kids love it. Everybody loves it. They couldn't stop complimenting it. It was great. That's what the post is fucking saying.
Okay. So
but then they come back on a text or an email saying, we actually didn't really want that. But wait a minute. We have a record here that you actually loved and the kids are really like, there's a conflict here now. You're bullshitting. You're just using this as leverage to negotiate.
Here's a leading question too. Now, you've identified that. What about the contractor that says, guys, I'm a contractor. I don't have time to take pictures every day.
So then you got time to spend money on lawyers.
There's your answer.
Then go ahead. I guarantee you social media would be cheaper.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a smartphone. Everyone runs their operation off a smartphone. Take a fucking picture. Have two phones if you want. One for pictures and video and one for business or whatever.
Hire a social media person, guys. It's going to be cheaper long term.
You can go that way. Like, but the problem with them is that they're not doing... Remember, this is for your purpose.
That's true. Right. So
you have to do it.
Yeah. And so you can make it a game, folks. Like, if you've got some contractors, listen, volley it over to electrical, to drywall. Boys, take some shots of the work you've done today. Let's send it all over. there's multiple
convince
ways
your traits to do the same as well, and then tag you and talk about it and be proud of the panel that you put together.
And now we're creating an ecosystem, right? Because the ecosystem will protect each other to say
it's a digital form of journaling today.
Yeah,
but the sole purpose of that journal is for a defense that may not ever be needed. But that's the sole purpose of it. So treat it as if they fucked you over, they kicked you out, they changed the locks, and now you need a record of what the fuck happened till that day. Guess what? You have one.
And by the way, you're going to create a connection with the client along the way because you've been transparent to say, here's your building. So things are going to trigger them along the way, or they're not, but they're going to come to you and say, Jonathan, I like this post. I didn't like this post. I disagree with this. Okay, well, now what we're doing is we're engaging in dialogue. So I get to understand who you are, what your perceptions are, what your biases are, what your filters are. And now I'm also subconsciously mitigating the fact that I'm going to get screwed for money because we're dialoguing all along the way. Something's occurring.
Consider expert plumbing and drains. When it comes to plumbing, you need someone who's not just skilled, but truly cares about the job they do. Someone like Aaron Bolin and his team at Expert Plumbing and Drains. Aaron has been in the trade for years, and he's built his reputation on one thing, commitment. Commitment to his craft, his crew, and most importantly to you, the client. At Expert Plumbing and Drains, it's not just fixing pipes, it's about delivering the best possible service every single time on every single project. So whether you're dealing with a leaky faucet, a stubborn drain, or planning a full plumbing overhaul, Aaron and his team are ready to tackle it all with skill, integrity, and a passion for excellence. Need help now? Call Expert Plumbing and Drains at 905-531-4111. That's 905-531-4111. Or visit them at www.expertplumbinganddrains.com and on social media at Expert Plumbing and Drains Canada. Experience the difference of working with a team that's dedicated to getting the job done right. Because at Expert Plumbing and Drains, your satisfaction is their top priority. You can also email Aaron directly at aaron@expertplumbinganddrains.com. Expert Plumbing and Drains, where expertise meets care. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. I mean, before all that happens, I think the best thing that any tradesperson, contractor, we're just grouping them all together, right? You work for somebody, whether you're a tradesperson working for a GC or you're a tradesperson working for a client or whatever it is, right? You need to properly vet these people. And if you don't know how to vet somebody, which I think primarily comes from experience, you got to get fucked over to vet, right? So do some courses, do some workshops, work with somebody that could work with you to understand. I read the Chris Voss's book, The Negotiation. Great fucking book, right? FBI guy. And all of a sudden, there's subtle fucking things that you can do that will remind them, don't fuck with me. Without saying, don't fuck with me.
Yeah. Guys, study body language. It's not an ego. Right?
Body language.
Study body language.
Eye language, everything.
Chris Voss does a great mirror back. Yeah. Oh, so what you're saying is, right? Okay. Oh, you don't like that. So you don't like that. Well, what do you like now?
That should be in construction all the time.
Well, that's the biggest missing component, right? Because we've got highly skilled trades
people.
We
put clients too fucking high on a pedestal. I'm sorry, but we do. They hire us because we're the surgeon and we know how to fucking operate, right? But they don't treat us that way. They take advantage of us. So I think the moment that you go, fuck this pedestal, I never built it for them, I don't want them up there, we're all going to be on the same level fucking ground. And now we're speaking to each other where I'm providing a service, you're paying for that service. Keep that very fucking clear for them.
Okay, hang on now. So now you got guys who are going to say, Manny, I'm not going to get the job, or he's going to throw me off the job.
Then you'll get the next job.
There it is, right? Then that person wasn't for you anyways.
Are you good? Are you good at what you do?
Yeah.
Are you good at the skills that you provide? Are you good with the team that you put together? Are you good? Is this the only neighborhood you could work in? Start taking a fucking walk. Start going on lawns. Start not, like online. Go knock on doors. Like just start doing what you were doing when you first started this business and get yourself out there. Don't think that by you saying no because you did all the proper vetting and you discovered that, no, these guys are going to fuck me royally. I'm going to walk away from this and then avoid all this shit. Just think to yourself, there's going to be somebody else that's going to treat me far better with respect and I'm going to do an amazing job for them and move on.
See, this is what you, this is again, self-awareness now, right? It's way more than the actual skilled trade involved. We're talking about improving ourselves, right? Negotiate, learn, but also have the self-awareness. Do I have the competence? Well, yeah, man, I do great work. Do I have the confidence? Yeah, I know I can do this, right? So what happens next? Walk away if you have to, man. That's not being cocky or ignorant, no. Right? That's having the self-awareness to go, I don't want to put myself in a compromising position.
If you look back on it and you go, listen, I could have stayed at home, not worked for those 6 months, a year or whatever, and actually been in a better financial situation. Like, we haven't even talked about just on Safety Corner with Phil, we talk a lot about how, what's the cost of not being safe?
Right.
Right? Everyone talks about what the cost is of being safe and having proper PPE and setting up the job site properly so it's all safe, so you won't get fined, you won't get, and you know, worst case, someone loses their life, right?
Sure.
So what's the cost? And I look at this the same way, that what's the cost if you don't do all this shit in the beginning? The cost is you could potentially lose your marriage. You could potentially lose your fucking kids. You can potentially lose your vehicle, your place of business, foreclosure. Like, that's a lot of fucking cost.
Yeah.
When you could have just sat there and go, you know what? Let me strike these people with some serious questions that will give me some proper answers. And that's the Chris Foss thing. And there's other people that you can look up, but there's ways of performing, you know, asking questions that they'll react a certain way, that you need them to react a certain way. And then, like I've said it before, a long time on the show, I went to go do a job, to quote it. I go in there, I meet them, pleasantries around, you want a coffee, all this other shit, right? Then we start talking about the scope of work, husband and wife team. And all of a sudden we start doing the scope of work and they start disagreeing right in front of me. And she starts, lack of a better term, whipping out her bigger dick than his right in front of me. I just met these people. By the end of that subtle argument in front of me, I was polite and I listened to the rest of what they wanted to offer me regarding what the scope of work is. And then I ended the meeting by saying, you know what, guys, it was nice to meet you guys. I'm not the right contractor for you guys. You know, I'm going to go. Thank you very much. Good luck with everything. They were a little upset I said that. And I said, if you guys are fucking fighting like this right in front of me right now, when we haven't even started the job, I'm not interested in being a part of this marriage. I'm not fucking Jack. This ain't Three's Company. So it's like, you guys have problems. I don't want to be associated with them. So you have to start saying no. More times say no than say yes. Otherwise, you're going to get into real problems, which litigation.
And you just identify it. Red flag, folks. Right? Don't dismiss them. Become curious about
them. Vet them completely. I've always said it over and over. You should be asking more questions of them than them of you when you first meet them. Now, there's ways of structuring those questions so then you can get answers without being, I guess, too in their face about it, right? You have to really learn how to read people. And I go back to this, just age. You just, like, it's almost like a car crash. You can just see it fucking unfold.
Right.
When you're on the job site and the work is going and all of a sudden they decided to, like, we might fuck the contractor over if we do this, right? You need to avoid that moment.
Yeah, actually, you know what shows up as you talk about this for me, and I'm going to volley over unsolicited thought, is motorcycles, right? You ride. What's, and I don't, but I know a little bit, right? You know, what do you tell you when you ride a bike? Oh, you know, head on a swivel, man. You got to know what's going on around you, right? Because the minute you get into that distracted zone, shit's going to happen. But yet in the construction site, we get into the, oh, I'm just going to work. Dude, the minute you just say, I'm just going to work, the shit around you is going to become chaos.
But the other critical thing about riding, and everyone knows this, is that if you stay focused too much on one area, that's where you're going to go. And so if you're looking into the ditch or whatever, that's where you're going to go. That's what I was saying, that in the early days, a lot of contractors are blinded. They don't want to think that the client's going to fuck them over.
Yeah.
I think you're better off going in there thinking every client's going to fuck you over.
Right.
Keep guard, but don't be so harsh that you can't let them in. But like, it's that whole saying, like, don't confuse my pleasantries as weakness, right? Like, don't confuse that shit. I'm still, this is not a relationship. This is a business transaction. Keep reminding them of that shit, right? So the more you can do to let them know about that shit, the better you're going to, the jobs are going to go smooth. Everybody's going to go. And then the sub-trades want the same thing.
Sure they do.
You know what I mean? The sub-trades want to work for GCs and other people that want to provide a good job for them, a good environment for them, so they can do a great job and then get paid and move on to the next job. They want that. They don't want to get fucked over by any GC or fucked over by any client.
And nobody wants to reestablish boundaries, you know, and go through that dating stage again with new people. Once you find good people to work with, you want to stay with them.
You almost want clients to basically tell their friends, he's really good. His team is really good. He's a little rough around the fucking edges, but he gets shit done.
Yeah.
I'd rather that instead of he's a pussy and he didn't really communicate properly with me. Just be blunt, man. I don't give a shit if you're hurting feelings at that point. I was never blunt. I was always trying to please them. And you know what? That speaks to, listen, lately, I don't know if it's me. I got a fight going on with Amazon right now. I got a fight going on with Tech Savvy right now. I swear customer service is fucking non-existent these days, right? But what is it in construction? We bend over backwards to give them 1,000% of customer service. We'll throw in all kinds of new shit. Oh, we just did that. My guy just did that. We just took care of that. Don't worry about that. I'm not sending you any. Like, we constantly are giving all this free shit. Stop that shit. You need to remind them what the value of that was and why you decided not to include it in the price point. Mm. And you need to keep a running tally of all the shit that you've done that has been above and beyond what the original scope was. You need to do that. And then you got to let them know all this shit. That's important, right? You're not doing it for ego. You're doing it again for the journaling part of it. You want to remind them, don't fuck with me. Like, I'm treating you guys well. There's respect on both sides. But the moment you guys stop paying.
And don't hide it, by the way. Keep it transparent. Hey, folks, this is what's happening.
And I would say if they're $1,000 off, that's when you start being strict. Don't fucking let it get to 10,000. Don't do what I've done or other people that I know have done. You get it to six figures. You just keep on letting it ride. You keep on letting it ride like you're a fucking alcoholic going to the bar and you just keep on riding the fucking tab. Don't. $1,000 is a lot of fucking money. You know, you gas driving Sprinter dually pickup truck motherfuckers, how much does it cost to fill up your gas tank, right? $1,000 will not fill up that gas tank all that much. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So the moment that they don't want to pay $1,000, you start speaking up. You don't let it get past that point. Take that $1,000 hit if they don't want it. If they, and you know what? When you want to try to wrap things up, wrap it up with a fucking bow. Get to the point where you're going, listen, we're not getting along here. This is not healthy for both of us. It's affecting my personal life. I'm sure it's affecting your personal life. I think we should part ways here. Right? If you guys want me make recommendations on other trades, we can do that. But here's the final bill that I'm more than happy to walk away with. You know, whatever, 1,000, 1,500, whatever. I don't give a shit what it is. But if you have to have that conversation, have that conversation.
Yeah. But the other thing, I mean, you identified something important that don't let it be tens of thousands of dollars, because you're going to have that uncomfortable conversation at the end. And you have to know that you're taking the risk that they're not going to pay you for that last $1,000. But at least at that point in time, you're pretty whole and complete.
Yeah, I have yet to meet a contractor or a tradesperson that has, in the scope of construction, succeeded winning the legal route.
Right.
I have yet. Like, I don't know who that unicorn is.
No.
Right? There's a lot of boasting going on where I fucking sued him and I did this and then here was the payout. But it's kind of funny, whenever I get those stories being shared to me, they never tell me the last act. They never tell me that the check arrived with the full amount. They never tell me that. They always tell me that lien, litigation, 5, 6, 7, 10 years, and I was awarded, I won, that was it. And I'm like, okay, so how did it feel when you got that check? Did it feel like a lottery check? Did you get, like, there's never that last act.
No.
So I'm like, that's not fucking worth it. And I go back to, I guarantee fucking to you, your marriage is done. I guarantee you, you're visiting your children. I guarantee you, you're living in a basement now. I guarantee fucking to you.
Yeah, what'd you have to sacrifice?
So just so you can have the ego that say that I won the litigation, take the fucking high road and walk away. Don't ever get to that point where you have to, if it's $1,000, who gives a fuck?
And litigation are bullshit. We know that it's always an inflated number, that more times than not, it's a settlement anyways. It's like, all right, we don't want to drag this shit out. What's it going to take for everybody to go away? And guess what? You'll never work that person again. You're bitter.
I know, but you're just going to talk. Listen, doesn't matter how much you try to smooth things over the client, they will always go, Manny is a fucking asshole
yes,
to everybody
you're right,
they
you're right,
meet.
You're right, yeah.
That, as soon as it's ingrained in your head, that's it. You're never going to change the fucking tune. It's as simple as that, right? So it's like, you can spend the rest of your days trying to convince somebody that you're not an asshole. Or you can think to yourself, I don't give a fuck. Introducing Alt Labor Solutions, the game changer for contractors and laborers. Are you a contractor needing skilled labor, or have labor in need of quick shifts? Or how about buying, selling, or renting tools, material, and equipment? Connect easily with contractors and find resources hassle-free through Alt Labor Solutions online platform. Post job listings with project details, browse public resumes, and choose the right person for the job. Explore their job board for new opportunities and connect with top talent. Alt Labor Solutions revolutionizes the labor industry with a user-friendly interface, secure payments, and a supportive team. Visit them at altlaborsolutions.com and start connecting with other contractors today. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. And I go, okay, so I walked away from that job. They got all the work that they wanted up until a certain point. We couldn't make it work. I got paid my final bill. It was half of what I was expecting. I'm happy with it. I'm gone. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
See, move on to the next one.
Like, this goes down to, at the end of life, folks, what matters?
It's ego. It's the problem is ego, right? But I just, like, I'm telling you, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You're making it personal if you bring in the ego. And I'm go back to business transaction. I don't give it. It's kind of funny. Not a lot of people online, on social media, on posts, or even other podcasts, get really in the nitty gritty of what to do and what's the best way to do. But I strongly believe that a lot of people leave this industry because they can't handle the stress associated with not being paid and getting fucked over. I don't blame them. I truly do not blame them. And my running joke nowadays is like, you know, this is the reason why I got the fuck out of the business, right? So, I mean, bad clients did push me out of the fucking industry because I didn't appreciate being treated the way I was treated when I was giving everything I possibly could.
Right.
Right? So it's just like, you know what? My efforts, my creativity should go elsewhere. You should always think that there's another client around the corner, but you have to be willing to find that other client. And you can't just be like, well, they're going to be an asshole. They're going to fuck me over. No, you can't do that either. You know what I mean? You have to just be really, really strong about how you want to position your business and you. And then people will feed off of that and they'll know, okay, well, this guy's a no bullshit person. I'm going to work with them. And they take care of A, we take care of B. And we just keep
on. I'd rather somebody say, you know, he's tough and fair than, well, he's a pushover, right? He's a pushover.
But I think in all fairness, tradespeople in general want something to brag about during the process of trying to collect money. But like I said, they never brag about the end. They never brag about the end.
So they want the story to say that, you know, I'm going to this litigation battle because this guy's an asshole and didn't pay me.
I'm going to fuck him over. I'm going to take him everything he's worth and all this. Who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck? I don't give a fuck. Honestly, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. How well is that serving you guys? Like, you want to put the kind of, think of what you could do with that energy, right?
Go fucking do something else. Come up with something else. Start building furniture. Like, find something else. Find another life correction. You know, another path or something like that. I'm not saying leave construction. I'm just saying be a designer, be an architect, be a consultant, whatever. Be an advisor, shit like that or whatever. Or just focus on specific niche projects that you want to work with. Find those clients that you want to work with.
Sure.
That's what you want to do, right?
Okay, so now, is it too far gone for the guys out there going, guys, got the conversation, you're 6 months too late, I'm already stuck in a position where I'm off site because the client's locked the door. Now what?
I would say write a balance sheet. Whenever somebody, business-wise, if your business is not doing well, what do? Assets and liabilities, right? We figure out what money is coming in, what revenue we're generating, what we're carrying, right? Do the exact same thing with this situation and be thoroughly honest with yourself. Like, brutal. This is what the losses are financially speaking to this date right here. What's that? Whatever that amount is, right? If I continue down this course, the lien, the lawyer, the retainer, the litigation, time. And then take that time number and move it to the top.
Yeah.
Right? We all talk about 5 years, 7 years, 10. I know one is 10 years. And I'm like, you're in your 30s now. Now tell yourself, look in the fucking mirror. I'm 31 years old. This is going to be over when I'm 41. Look at yourself deeply and go, this is going to be over when I'm 41 years old. There goes my muscle car. There goes my cottage. There goes time with family. There goes no vacations. Even when I'm on vacation, my mind's going to be where? Litigation. Now you double that time number. Now you're 51, but you just became 31. This is what I'm trying to explain to these kids. Like, walk the fuck away. Simple as that. The lawyers and your client are the only ones going to benefit from here on. Move on and just fucking start a new chapter in your life, period.
Do you think there's still space to hold with that client, or do we just totally cut them off?
You can try as much as you want and you can keep on making offers. I remember speaking to one person. He was out $90,000+, finished the job completely, got fucked over. It smelled like it was a whole line of credit mortgage thing. He had to pay those two. They got the line of credit to do the reno, but they didn't have enough to cover everything because their eyes were bigger than their fucking plate. So then they started getting the contractor to do more work that was above and beyond the original budget. And now they've done all this work, but now they can't afford it. So then all of a sudden I said to him, submit the invoices that are past due. And I hope everyone's talking to a lawyer. You speak to a lawyer to get all your paperwork in order regarding your contracts, your invoices, and everything like that. And I hope you, in Canada here, I don't know how it is in the US, but you have to have payment terms on every single one of your invoices.
Yep.
It has to be there. Right? That's a CRA, you know, Canadian Revenue Agency service thing. It has to be there. So if you don't have it on there, you better start putting it on there, right? Because now you can't use that as evidence towards, if it you ever go down the litigation route, they'll dismiss that invoice. It's not relevant to the situation now because you didn't give the client terms if they didn't pay. You just gave them an invoice and all of a sudden, okay, please pay. But they decided not to pay. But if you got terms there, net 30, 2.5%, whatever, annum, all that shit, then they have to pay. And now it starts to add up at that point. So I said to him, do that, send past due invoice, keep on sending it past due. And then I just said to him, listen, accidentally leave one of these past due invoices in the neighbor's mailbox. Because he told me something while he was telling me the whole story. He told me that he was showing off the rental to all of his neighbors. He's one of those clients that invites the neighbors to come over to sit down and have dinner and party and barbecue and all this other shit. But then all of a sudden they're Vanna Whiting the whole renovation. But he didn't fucking pay for the whole renovation. Mm. So I said, make the neighbors aware that he hasn't paid the contractor. Accidentally forget it in this fucking mailbox. Accidentally forget it in this fucking mailbox. And just keep pissing them off that way. But guess what? Your neighbors now going to look at you a little fucking differently now. You fucked over a contractor. Remind the neighbors that I've got two kids. I've got a mortgage. I've been married 15 years. Family-owned mom-and-pop business. My dad taught me this business. My dad taught me everything, how to do, how to build shit. I'm teaching my son, daughter. Bring that fucking shit into the game. He's going to hate it. He's really going to fucking hate it. And then he's going to have to try to defend himself at that point. I don't know what the resolution, if he ended up just eating that. And I said to him, listen, in all fairness, at $91,000, walk the fuck away.
Yes, cut your losses already, man.
You're going to be 500 by the time you're done. And you're going to be 10 years later on if you go the legal route. I'm telling you, legal route is the worst thing you can do.
So what do you...
And even though I've had lawyers on the show, it's the fucking worst thing you can do.
So some folks get scared, though. They're like, this has happened. Jonathan, I can't walk away because if I walk away, I'm in default of my contract.
Yes and no. You have to speak to a lawyer regarding that matter, right?
Yeah, we're not going to give you legal
if
advice.
If you try three attempts, depends on your contract and what your rules are, but if you attempt to mediate three times and they refuse to do that, they're in violation now. Because the first course of action regarding legal construction law is mediation. And if right. you consciously made an effort and you have an email trail or letters trail or whatever, you tried three times and they ignored it, then they're in violation of the contract.
Well, and you know, the other thing is, well, then that's the risk we take, folks. Like, we also have to assume that at some point in time, we want to, if we do nothing, nothing's going to change. So take some sort of action.
here's the sad truth is clients do this because they want a serious discount at the end. And they can't walk into a Mercedes-Benz dealership and try to pull this shit. This is the price of the fucking car. You keep on adding extras. This is the new price of the fucking car. Here's your monthly payment. Shut the fuck up and pay. If you don't pay, we repossess the car. And you get a nice stain on your credit. They're blunt. It's fucking blunt.
And you don't say like, hey, I'm going to, you know, pay X dollars for a car, drive it off the lot, and then say, you know what? It's not worth the same money I thought it was. It doesn't work that way, folks. So why do we treat construction different? Well, I thought it was going to go $100,000 and now...
Because we can't take advantage of people, that's why.
Yeah.
People let themselves get taken advantage of, right? That's the problem. And the moment that you realize that you shouldn't allow that to happen, the better off you're going to be. Like, I know lots of tradespeople. I know lots of contractors, and they all have a common thread. They all are very strict because they've been burned. Extremely strict. And they also pay attention to vetting clients a lot better than they did when they early got started, right? And that's a skill, that's a learned skill later on, right? And I think that you have to do that. You have to keep on practicing that. And maybe it's incremental. Like if you're a young person getting started in an industry, you do small jobs. And, you know, maybe you jokingly just said to the client, I go, listen, I'm just curious if, like, have you ever heard of a neighbor that didn't pay their bill or whatever? Just make this conversation open. You want them to be aware that your thoughts are out there now, right? They don't want to just be like, you treat us, we're on a pedestal. You're just substandard to us. You're a contractor. Just do the fucking work and shut up and I'll decide whether I'm
going
to pay.
Yeah, that's great insight too, right? Like start to dig around, hey, what else has been going on in the neighborhood? Oh, anybody else done some, how'd that go for you? Anybody, you know, anybody who hasn't paid a bill? You know, anybody who got in a sticky situation? What can we be aware of today?
You know what's funny is that a lot of, and I did this too. Whenever you do a job, you always want to be the friend in the neighborhood, right? You know you're going to create a lot of mess. You're going to create a lot of noise.
Right.
You're going to take a lot of parking spots. You're just going to upset neighbors, right? So what do? You go around to all the door knocking. You introduce yourself. You give them a business card. You give them the number. You tell them, listen, if there's ever an issue, please call me. I will answer. I will reply back to your text. I'll take care of it. All that shit. You know, before you even sign the dotted line on that shit, go around the fucking neighbor and go, listen, anybody on the street ever been fucked over by a contractor? But you're asking that question to find out if any client has ever fucked over a contractor. You're not doing it to find out if contractors have fucked clients over. You want to see how they react to the question the other way.
You know what's interesting too, and I love this, is because, again, when you come back to the stuff you talked about earlier where, you know, learn about yourself, body language, how to speak to people. Hey, you know, I'm doing this work for Jonathan. Right away, you can see how the neighbor reacted. They pull back. They, okay, yeah, you're working for Jonathan. Read the triggers, folks.
That's you know, why you do it.
And you're going to say, oh, Jonathan's a great guy. Yeah, I got, you know, two small kids and here's what's going on and on and on. Well, now I'm getting a bit of a different sense. I'm like, okay, maybe my senses are correct on this.
So right? Any of you, like all you younger guys, look up Columbo, the TV show. Detective from the 70s and 80s, right? And he always had this knack of finding out who the criminal was by asking very indirect questions. So when I say that, I mean like you're knocking on the door of the neighbor, you're introducing yourself to pleasantries to let him know if there's any dust, dirt, shit, whatever, right? Call me. But what Columbo did really well is that he would purposely end the conversation, pleasantries aside and everything's fine. But just as they're about to close the door, he would turn and go, listen, just one more question and do the exact same thing. So just one more question. I'm just curious. Has anybody on the street here ever been screwed over by a contractor? I'm just curious about that. And see how their body language reacts to that. I mean, I guarantee you, there's probably somebody on that street. But the real question is three sides, right? Did the contractor fuck the client? Did the client fuck the contractor? Or did they both fuck each other? But the point is that you want to see what's the street like. This is before you sign the contract.
Yeah, and see, this is, again, not only self-awareness, but this is also, here's the thing that, It might irk people, but what I say, and I say this all the time, is that when you take responsibility for your own life, there's nobody else to blame. Take responsibility, man.
Step up. But we do that after all the shit that we go through. Yeah. We do that. We should do it a lot sooner.
Do it earlier on. Now you're taking full responsibility. I know what I'm engaging in, or I think I have, based on the information I have today, here's where I'm going to go.
Attention aspiring tradespeople and entrepreneurs. Looking to break into the skilled trades or start your own home service business? Meet TradeLinks Consulting, your go-to partner for success. At TradeLinks Consulting, they're passionate about helping you find the right trade, build your business, and mentor the next generation. Whether you're exploring your options or ready to take the plunge, they offer tailored career consulting and startup guidance to get you on the right track. Visit them at www.tradelinkconsulting.ca today and book your personalized strategy session. Your future in the skilled trade starts here. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Maybe the other thing too that'd be a good idea is, I know partnerships are hard, right? I've always said construction partnerships are a lot like marriages. You have to choose the right partner.
Right.
100% you have to choose the right partner. The problem is that, I don't know what the stats are, it's like more than 70% of people choose the wrong partner in marriages, right? And then that's the biggest problem with most marriages, right? But it's applicable to partnerships as well. I think it's better if you go there with a second person.
Mm.
I think you go do the estimating process with a second person. Like, you could either introduce them as your partner or an associate or your estimator or something like that. I think two against one is sometimes better, or even two against two is sometimes better. Because now it's like, well, he didn't really say that in our initial meeting. Oh, hang on a sec. There was a second person here, man. You probably noticed that I was taking notes the whole time that everyone pulls out a moleskin and we start taking notes, or you pull out your iPad and you start making notes. Like, just.
But this is the thing, right? So now, you're talking about two different things here. You're talking about stage presence. I mean, we've got room presence, but also, what if you and I go to a meeting and say, Jonathan, all I need from you today is keep your eyes on the person who's not talking.
Yeah.
That's observe exactly what's it. Going on.
That's exactly.
And then it. We have a reconnaissance mission out. Hey, what'd you notice? Well, I noticed that when you said this, he turned.
That's exactly.
Or his lip curled or his nose. Interesting. Again, construction's evolved. And it's going to continue to evolve. So it's on us. For those who want to sustain themselves and who want to survive for the next 4, 5, 10 years, whatever it's going to be, we got to get better, folks.
Here's an interesting thing that happened. Is I got a phone call. Was it yesterday or the day before? I can't fucking remember. End of the year, man. It's busy. Mm. and he was just calling me to pick my brain on something.
Sure.
And he explained it to me, and I was like, dude, I think that's a brilliant idea. And he had the idea of wanting to partner with somebody that's not necessarily exactly connected to his wheelhouse. But when he started, I know both parties. Okay. When he started presenting the idea, I was like, that's fucking brilliant. I think from what I know about both you guys, and I know both these gentlemen for one I've known for about 3 years, one I've known for about 7, 8 years, right? And I'm like, you guys would fucking work really well together because one was strong in one area and the other one was strong in another area and vice versa. They were not strong in the same areas that they were both strong in, right? So I'm like, that's a partnership. So if you have a hard time being blunt, there's a reason why there's always a good cop, bad cop.
Of course.
Right? So if you're not strong in being blunt, then you should partner with somebody who's fucking strong in being blunt. Simple as that. And then you could probably be carrying the weight of something else, and then they carry that, and vice versa. It benefits you both now at that point. Again, get rid of the ego and have a partnership going. I know plenty of businesses that are doing well with 3, 4 partners. They see the strengths, and they bring in those strengths to make it a bigger, better business. If you're alone, it's nice to be lone wolf, but it's not going to benefit you in the end. And plus, at some point, you want to hand it off. And ideally, choose a little bit of an age gap.
Yeah.
So you could either be the elder or you could be the young one. And then you can have this decision later on. Listen, you want to buy me out? Let's just come to terms on what this relationship is going to be like, this business partnership.
Yeah.
And then buy me out and I'll go and work on something else, or I'll do something else, right? But I think a lot of these younger trades should be considering that. So then when their career ends, it just doesn't end. There's something to, you know, go for.
Yeah, because the flip side is then you get so ingrained in it that that's all you know. Right? So having somebody else there, does it create a different pathway?
What else is there? I mean, like, there's a lot of shitty things going on right now because of this, and clients are taking advantage, and you can't ignore the immigration card. So you got cash jobs, but clients are fucking over immigrants too as well. They come in and they give them a stupid low price, and then they do the job, and then they may or may not pay them, right? And so that's also a fucking risky thing to do as well. I think you just got to read people and don't ignore what your gut is telling you. We tell this to clients all the time. Choose a contractor based on what your gut is telling you. Well, choose a client based on what your gut is telling you. I told more questions from you to them than them to you. You better be talking to them and counting off the questions. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You want to have like 100 fucking questions, man. And then you make your assessment of them.
You know, the other thing, considering, and this is a really raw thought, I'm not sure how it's going to land, but what about considering either on the client end or the contractor's end, you know, bringing in a third-party expert to some regard? Maybe as a client, yes, there's a cost involved, except does that create a barrier? Does it create a different level, a different layer, different knowledge of expertise?
Well, that goes back to the mediation portion, right? So you're just one step away from a lien at that point. And then the question becomes, who's bringing the expert in?
Yeah.
So there's going to be, I don't care how you slice it, there's going to be favoritism if the client brings that person in or if you bring that person in. Client's not going to like it. And you ain't going to just grab somebody out of a fucking hat and they're going to be the mediator.
And I don't know the answer. Could the contractor say, here's a list of three different guys. Do your own research. Choose one. I don't know.
Excuse me. It's almost like you need prenups, right? Like you got to have a prenup and shit like that to get it started. Right. And everyone's got to be on the same page. But the problem is that what happens if things do go wrong? Because clients, there isn't a single job that's ever been done that hasn't had a change on it.
Yeah, I'm not saying what shows up for me for the client is a client only knows what a client knows. There's many clients out there who believe they know construction and they really don't. So an expert could close that gap.
It could, but it gets too close to litigation to me.
True.
Right? The moment, like that's most contractors, they just love throwing, okay, they stop paying me, I'm going to fucking drop a lien on you.
Yeah.
Like they're so proud of the fact to say that. And I'm like, that's just, you're damaging everything to begin with. That's not the way to react to that situation. You have to figure out another way. And that's where I go back to earlier on. I said, why?
Yeah.
Why don't you want
to
pay me?
Well, the minute you say, you don't have to pay me, John. I'm going to lean, you just said a trigger.
It is a trigger. It's a trigger. Clients, it's 100% trigger. Right? Yeah. Like there's the old school thought where you make physical threats, right? But those days, well, I wouldn't say they're gone. I'm pretty sure they're still around.
We just talked about it. Tape measures through the window. The end is you're still responsible for your actions, man.
So the thing is, you take the high road, but you, and in all fairness too, once you start smelling that this shit's going to go south, you pull yourself out of the equation and you go home and you create the balance sheet and you designed exactly how you're going to react to this now. You have to. You can't let them dictate on how you're going to react to it. You have to be in control on how you react through from every little fucking thing. That's it. Simple as that. Otherwise, you're just going to create a mess. And then they jump all over that mess, right? And then you get a lot of contractors, and I'll bring this up too, is where I've never been a fan of businesses that are named. So X and X Brothers.
Okay.
Right? Because the problem is that you keep them up on a pedestal because they're going to constantly beat the same way that you as a contractor say, I'm going to throw a lien on you. They're going to turn around and go, I'm going to ruin your family name. I'm going to tell everybody in this fucking neighborhood that so-and-so brothers are fucking assholes and all they do is shit work and they fuck you over and all this other shit. So it's like, I'm not a fan of that. If it's a different name, I'm not saying you're doing a different name so you can just fold up shop and be that shiesty kind of fucking contractor, but I've never been a fan of that.
No, but okay, so can I challenge that?
Yeah.
How is it different than saying, I'm going to say that the construction life is a shit contractor?
That's one person's opinion. But if you're, if your business name has your surname in it, you bend a lot easier.
I got it.
To their fucking demands.
Because there's an emotional attachment to your family name.
So anyone who says the construction life is a fucking asshole, good.
Okay.
I'm glad.
Thanks for your opinion, man.
Thank you very much. Yeah,
right? But the minute that there's
But if it was Manny Nevis Construction, well, I'm going to fucking say Manny Nevis is a fucking asshole for the rest of my life, right? Then you kind of bend to, you know, you're like, well, fuck, can we resolve this? Can we resolve this? Kiss ass and shit. Fuck no, man.
Uh-huh, right. Yeah, because that-
Again, go back to the big businesses, big corporations. You know what I mean? They're entities. They're not individuals. How did they get to that point? Maybe that's another thing. Take the balls and call up these big corporations that you know. There's big construction companies in Canada. Huge. There's massive ones in America. But I'm talking billion-dollar corporations, right? Sure. Okay, I'll tell you a little story. It was fucking funny. I'm a 16-year-old kid, and I'm in high school, and I have an idea to shoot a drinking and driving commercial.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever told you that. I don't even think I've ever shared this on the show. So I'm 16 years old. When you're 16 years old, your balls are the size of basketballs, right?
Right.
You don't give a shit about no. You just keep asking questions. So all of a sudden, I call the local police. I explain to who I am and what I want to do. And I end it by saying, I need a cop there. I need a cop car. They're like, well, let me speak to my supervisor and all this other shit, right? And so I go, wait a minute, I need an ambulance too. So I call up a fucking ambulance. Do the exact same thing. I call up firefighters. I do the exact same thing. I didn't know anybody this. My family didn't know anybody this. And so a few weeks later, fast forward, I've got an ambulance, I've got a fire truck, I've got two squad cars and cops, and I pick a street and I get a friend's car and we stage the whole fucking thing and we shoot everything. And all I got was from the time that we started shooting it was not a warning, but just a suggestion saying from the ambulance going, listen, if we get the call and we're in the area, we're going to have to fucking take off. So I'm going to give you about a half hour, maybe an hour right now at the most. So we were shooting everything and it was all over the tow truck. They all thought it was a legitimate accident. I'm 16 years old. And I've navigated this whole fucking thing, right? And then I got what I needed to get. Was it shit? It was 100% shit. The idea was there. Was it creative? It was 100% creative. But when I look back on it, I was like, I'm 16 years old speaking to adults, asking them for cop cars, fire trucks, and ambulances. If you're in construction right now and you're in your 20s, reach out to Ellis Don's PCL. Can I sit down? Can I buy you coffee? Can I buy you dinner? You don't know who the fuck I am, but I really want to make construction my career.
Yeah.
Can I sit down with you? And I really want to ask you, if a client fucks me over, how should I handle it? And get these seasoned executives to let you know how they should handle it, how you should do it. And yeah, they'll tell you, I guarantee you, stories of their past and how they got every big corporation, PCList, they started by swinging a hammer on the first job. All of them did. But I'm sure they have different ways of handling certain situations that are you're not privy to in the conversation.
And guess what? Those guys are going to want to take those calls because you know what? Everybody wants to share their story, man.
They like sharing those stories.
Yeah.
Right? They won't share the stories of how they became billionaires and millionaires.
No, but those...
Right? But that's a different story. But that's what I mean. It's like have the balls to not be afraid to ask that question or try to get that meeting. And all of a sudden, like, holy shit, they said yes. And I've done that before on other things too as well, but I don't do that much anymore. It's like you get other people reaching out me now and I'm like, I keep forgetting sometimes that you're a kid and you're asking me a question, but I was that kid at some point. So it's like, have the nerve to do that. So it's no different than like, I got a chance to meet Pierre Poilievre and I just, first thing I asked him, you want to come on my podcast? It hasn't happened because that's the fucking political sphere here, right?
Sure.
But the thing is, ask. And everyone knew in the small circle in podcasts and, you know, on my social media, they all knew that I wanted to somehow get to him. And then they gave me the opportunity to get to him. And before I even connected, shaking his hand, I asked the question. The question was even in the photograph that, you know, I gave my camera and I asked him before I asked. And all of a sudden he takes a picture and you can see me at that moment asking the question. And you'll never get the opportunity unless you ask that question. So it's like figure out how you can get to certain people that you respect and admire and go, I wonder how they would handle a client fucking me over.
Mm.
And you never know what answer you'll get from it. You're getting my opinion. You're getting your opinion now on this show. And, you know, I'm so anti-lawyer and shit like that. But the thing is, you won't know unless you ask. And then maybe they give you some insight that will really help you in a current or an upcoming situation. Because it's so many times you can just ask your peers. Like how many times you're on the job site and you speak to another GC and they go, yep, been there. Yep, been there.
Yeah, so now pry for more because people will give you their insight. You just have to hold the space for them to do so.
Yep.
Right? There's so a lot here, folks. I mean, listen, just bite-sized chunks, man. You don't have to, the big takeaway is you don't have to do it alone.
No, you don't. But I definitely think, there's a fear though. You don't want to be the contractor that other contractors know that you got fucked over. And I'm going to let everybody that's listening right now, every fucking contractor gets fucked over. So when you meet them, they've all been fucked.
So simple. So how does it change though if you sort of just bring that? So
it's just the level of fuckness.
That's it.
That has happened. Whether it's 1,000 or 1,000,000, it's just the amount is different. The fuckery, every single one has been fucked over.
And everybody wants to smooth over their fuckery a little bit less to say, well, it wasn't really that bad. But it took a shit ton of energy out of you, man. It took resources out of you.
When you're older and past it and you look back, you're going to regret the years, not months, the years that your ego got into. I guarantee fucking to you. And your lawyer will say all kinds of bullshit. Listen, if you meet a lawyer, I guarantee fucking to you, every single lawyer I've ever met in my fucking life, and there's been a handful of them, they've all said the exact same fucking statement, and I should have ran off the second one when I fucking heard that statement, right? And the statement was, I'm not like other lawyers. I'm here to help you. I'm going to solve this problem. We're going to take care of it. The moment I fucking hear, every fucking lawyer I've ever spoke, I'm not like other lawyers. You guys are all the fucking same. Whether you're defending me, if the check is coming from my client, you'd be defending them. You defend the check. You do not defend me. So that's why they say, I'm not like other lawyers. You guys are all the fucking same. I don't give a shit. Male, female, first year, second year.
It's a whole business.
Yeah. You guys, it's a business. Right. And in Canada, it's gotten really bad where they've designed it where this is the only recourse that you have. So you have to get sucked into this black hole where I shake my head and sometimes I walk away. I'll get a contractor come up to me. He goes, yeah, I dropped off a retainer for $25,000 today. And I'm like, dude, big fucking mistake. I guarantee fucking thing. You think $25,000 is nothing. You think the problem is going to get solved in $25,000. No, you're 150 to 250 in. By the, all said and done, 25,000 is fuck all. It's not, it's like, it's in your opinion, because you're doing really well, your business, you're probably billing $1 million or whatever. You think 25,000 is fuck all. $25,000 after 10 years is going to be a shitload of money. So I just walk away. I'm going, I'm sorry, Ben. I disagree with you on that. Mm. I'd rather put that 25 grand elsewhere. Protect your investment one drop at a time. Your home or project deserves the very best when it comes to waterproofing. Trust nothing less than the service that guarantees you peace of mind and lasting protection. Meet Antonio, the expert behind Aquastop waterproofing. Whether you're a homeowner wanting to keep your basement dry or a contractor in search of a reliable partner, Antonio and his skilled team deliver unparalleled quality and service. From the first site assessment to the final backfill, every detail is handled with precision, ensuring your project is completed on time, on budget, and to the highest standard. Antonio's team doesn't just solve problems, they prevent them. With a proven track record of working with insurance companies, educating clients, and using the best products available, Aquastop Waterproofing offers a solution you can depend on for years to come. Experience the difference with a team committed to excellence. Antonio and Aquastop Waterproofing are your go-to professionals for all things waterproofing. Get in touch with Aquastop Waterproofing today at 647-631-4144 or visit them at www.aquastopwaterproofing.ca. For direct inquiries, email Antonio at antonio@aquastopwaterproofing.ca. Let's make sure your property stays safe and sound, rain or shine. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Interesting. So here's what's top of mind for me. Do you think, does time, there's an old adage that time heals. Does time heal in the sense that if contractor who's in a sticky situation today walks away from a client, does time heal enough where that, I don't want to say relationship is healed because the answer is I don't think so, except is there enough time in between to allow a reconnection?
To the client?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck no.
Done.
It's done.
Because, you know, my mind goes to, could you, listen, for the guys who are in this situation now, you got no choice to walk away. You got to walk away. Do you, over time, stay connected somehow?
To the client?
Yeah. Do you?
Why?
Well.
Is it for your benefit or for their benefit?
No, I'm just wondering if, does human compassion come back in to say, okay, man, I was going through shit.
Business transaction.
I still owe you 10 grand.
Business transaction.
So cut it. Yeah.
Like walk away from it. I've never heard of, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, I've never heard of a contractor contacting me. Oh, by the way, remember that client that fucked me 10 years ago and they owed me $91,000? They gave me a check for $91,000 today. I'm True. Seeing flying monkeys at that fucking point. That ain't happening. Because the moment they got away with the crime, and it is a crime.
It's a crime.
The moment they got away with the crime, they'll do it again to somebody else.
Right. So they just buried that in their subconscious and said, well, we did it once, we'll do it again.
You may cross paths depending on your circle of friends or whatever. And I know that this happened to other contractors that I know that they went to a Christmas party and so-and-so was there. And all of a sudden there was like little hushes. What's going to happen?
But this is why I say, like, don't leave crumbs. Like, if you're going to be an asshole and not pay somebody, don't leave crumbs, because our worlds have a way of, especially in the construction world, which is so small, when you think of the grand scheme of things, everybody reconnects at some point in time or knows somebody or something. Don't leave crumbs, because it's coming back, man.
If a client consciously makes the decision, which I strongly believe that's what they do. They literally sit there and going,
a conscious
I'm
decision.
Gonna fuck you okay. over, right? If they do that, they don't care what other people think. They don't care if they think, oh, he's an asshole. They don't care. It just rolls off of them, right? A criminal still does what they do because they want to get away with it. I mean, the thing is, I know that I had a guy reach out to me one time and he's like, fuck, you should start creating a list manual on your website of bad clients, right? And I'm like, that's a whole legal world. I don't want to get into that fucking world, right? But I came up with an idea where, like, I started sharing. I go, listen, you can maybe say certain people in this area, whatever, there was a job or some shit like that. But now you're getting in the middle of shit. And I'm like, you know what? I'm too old for this shit.
But what if a bad client to you is not a bad client to me? Because something else occurred.
Well, the only reason a bad client is a bad client is because the money hasn't been paid.
Right.
That's it. They could be a dick. They can call you names, all that stuff. That's not a bad client. A bad client is someone who hasn't paid their bill for work performed. That's the clear definition of a bad client.
Agreed.
Period.
Sometimes what happens if a client pays one guy and not somebody else?
They pick and choose. That goes to the conscious. They made a conscious effort to fuck you over.
What?
But they fucked you over because they felt you're weak.
Yeah. So then who the hell is... This is what I'm saying is... Interesting idea, except you're in a sticky situation, because maybe there's a bad client to Jonathan, but not to Joe. Because again, Jonathan didn't establish the boundaries and expectations up front, so he got taken advantage of, and Joe did, and Joe didn't get taken advantage of.
Listen, there's the way you present yourself. I knew this really good friend of mine back in the film business, right? Short guy, short Portuguese guy, probably like a foot shorter than me, right? One hell of a fucking boxer.
Okay.
Like one fucking hell. And he was in his 30s at the time, early 30s. Like fucking fast as hell, right? It's how you present yourself on the job site and towards your clients. You could be a small person, male or female, but the way you fucking walk in there, if your back is straight, your head's up, and you're fucking strict about how your posture is and shit like that, you're a big person in their eyes. And if your crew is like that, most likely clients won't want to fuck with you. If you get, like, let's go to cliche, you get muscle-bound tradespeople. That's your fucking team. They're walking into a job to do the job. And you get this husband and wife team, and that's all they see is just fucking creatine everywhere, just seeping from fucking pores. You think they're going to fuck with you?
Right.
You don't have to fucking say anything. They ain't fucking with you. But we come in head down, pedestal client. We do that. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Stop that shit. You're providing a service. You have the skills. They don't. Head up.
Right. You know, there it is. Head up. Shoulders back. Right.
And everybody, your trades, all your trades, head up. Good morning. Proud. Proud.
Good morning. But I want to stop it there, because sometimes people say, good morning, sir. No, drop the sir. You're automatically putting him up on a pedestal, man. Good morning. Check in with him. Hey, how's it going today?
Say sir if they say good morning, right? Sir, to you.
Right, sure.
Respond the same way.
Sure, you want to mirror that? Sure, right? But
I've been on site so many times. I watched the younger trades come in, head down, quiet, small, constricting. Fuck no, man. Like, you should walk in there as if you have the biggest dick, even though you have the smallest one. Like, you just have to let them know, don't fuck with me. It works. I'm telling you the truth. It fucking works. But you were too afraid that we're going to come across harsh. Fuck that. I don't care about that. You're providing a service. They don't have the skills to do what you can do.
Confidence without arrogance, right?
Yeah.
You know,
How, you got to ask yourself as a tradesperson, how is your stance when you do your work? I'm pretty sure it's fucking erect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're an old timer and you're getting up there, listen, I've seen 60 plus year olds swing fucking sledgehammers a lot better than 20 year olds.
But you said it. If your whole body's not tense and not ready for it, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Right? If you're not bracing for that impact, guess what, folks? You're going to get hurt. So head up, shoulder back, assertiveness, right? Not aggressive, but assertiveness.
It's all part of your brand, right? If you're a bunch of, if you appear weak, they'll take advantage of it. And I go back, like that scenario you just said, is they make a conscious effort to screw over the weak. Lions don't go after the fucking hardiest looking gazelle. Which one did they go after? Clients do the exact motherfucking same thing. They're afraid of the banks. Right. They don't even see these people and they're afraid of them because they're afraid of what they can do to them. So if you suggest that you can do certain things, you know, I'm not saying threatening. There's not verbal or physical threats here. There's a positive, proud presence that should be associated with every tradesperson. You should never have your head down. Never. Right?
Yeah. Or not do certain things. I mean, you're the skilled tradesperson on site. You want to have confidence. Okay, I know that this guy's building a wall with competence.
You know what? I'd love to do a fucking data dump and just start inquiring around the whole world. And I guarantee you that tradespeople, crew-wise, that are all above the height of 6 feet, probably get paid more often than tradespeople that are below the 6 feet. I guarantee fucking to you. Why? Why is that?
I just had the vision of like Men in Black because they walk on site, shoulders back, had a black t-shirts, black sunglasses. Okay, boys, we're here to do some work. And nobody messes with them.
For all you kids who've probably seen the movie Den of Thieves, Gerald Butler and fucking 50 Cent and Pablo Schreiber. They're just criminals and cops, this whole story. But there's a funny fucking hilarious scene where the 16-year-old, 17-year-old boy is ringing the doorbell to take his daughter to the prom.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, 50 Cent comes over and he's wearing a wife beater and 50's got some presents, right? And his wife says, be nice. So all of a sudden he goes, listen, I'm just going to talk to you. And he brings him into the garage and his whole fucking crew's there. 6 foot plus muscle bound fucking guys. He goes, whatever you do to my daughter, we're going to do the same to you. Obviously the guy didn't do anything to his daughter, right? It's just, there's a presence there, right? And even though they joked, they laughed afterwards as soon as they left, right? They knew, but they knew what
the message was sent, right?
Yes. They, and that's where I think if you have a lack of confidence, you come across weak. If you're not holding your own, clients will take advantage of you and you'll go down this path possibly, right?
Sure.
Even if you vetted them and they all seemed okay and shit, but if they see a chink in your armor, they'll take advantage of it. I'm not trying to fucking say that all clients will fuck you over. I'm just saying that you don't want to go down that path. You really don't. And litigation is not the solution. The solution is presenting your business and yourself a lot more confidently. And that will avoid not getting paid.
Yeah, don't even bring litigation into the equation.
I'm sorry, lawyers. You guys are overpaid and I don't give a fuck and you don't really do anything. And there's no guarantee. None whatsoever. There's no lawyer that will say, no. I will guarantee you. If they were so good at what they did, they would do it pro bono.
Right.
Right? Which they don't. Or they'll even come up and just fucking like, okay, we'll do it in profit share on whatever. No, they don't fucking do that. We want to get paid up front, regardless if you win or lose.
Here's how much we are an hour. Here's whatever the retainer is. On
and
on
we
on.
Know you're going to fucking lose, but we don't give a shit. Because we're going to get you sucked into this black hole of more debt and then more shit. But I'm time is the most valuable fucking thing.
It's the biggest resource that we take for granted. And once it's gone, it's gone, man.
And it flies by in construction, man. I've had 15 years of construction. I remember first day, right? Like it was yesterday. So it's like all we can do now as older people is tell the younger generation, don't fucking do what we did. Right?
Don't wait, folks. Like if not now, when? And if not you, who?
What else do you want to share before we wrap this up? I think we covered quite a bit.
I think there's a lot of tangible takeaways there.
If anybody's been offended, I don't give a fuck. So,
no, and you know, I just say the same thing is that be causing the matter. Don't sit back and watch. Get in the game.
I mean, there's a lot of good contractors out there that are trying to change things, and I see it too, where I've got some people coming up on the show where they're going to talk about how you can make better contracts, right? Not necessarily using lawyers, but there's better ways of doing things. And I honestly believe that there is. I totally believe that there is, right? Same way that there's better tools to do certain tasks, but it's like, I think it still starts with you as a person, as an individual. It's the presence that you spend so much time and effort choosing the right vehicle, the logo, the business card, your swag, your hoodie, all that. You choose all these shit, like the brand. You build your brand. But then all of a sudden, the moment that, like, this whole, without offending anybody, they're not your master, and you're not a fucking slave. I don't give a shit. They're not, that's not, it's a partnership to achieve what they want to pay you for what you want to provide. That's the transaction there. So you guys are equal in my eyes.
You lit me up when you said, you know, we spend so much time figuring out the business metrics, what my logo is going to look like, how my business card is going to feel. Yet somebody walks through the door with a set of drawings or a USB stick, and we get super excited, like, oh yeah, I'll take the job. Whoa, man. You spend all this time over here, yet Jonathan walks in with this little piece of paper, and you're like, yeah, I'll do the job. Chill.
I have to think about it, man. And sometimes it's okay to say no, especially now during these hard times. You know, because that's when they're really going to ramp up taking advantage of you, right?
Yeah.
Because they know you're desperate. But in all fairness, they're probably in a financial desperate situation too, right?
Everybody's in the same, the flavor, it's sliced differently, it looks differently, the flavors are different. Everybody's in the same situation.
See, I had notes about, strain on personal relationships, mental health, stress, you know what I mean, trust and shit like that, right? And then it just becomes a downward spiral. Right? It's just like, it's avoid. How many times you slip on the snow when you're driving and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, you either learned it or not learned it to steer into the direction of the slide, right? And then you avoid it going into the ditch and then you survive that and you keep on going. You're like, holy shit. So we all want to avoid getting into that ditch. So just do everything you possibly can to not even get anywhere near that ditch. And then exhaust all that shit. And then if you can't rectify everything and you have to terminate the relationship, the contract, whatever, get to a happy point at that point and be extremely professional about it. If you want to bring in a mediator and go, listen, here's what's been done. Here's what's still owing. We want to meet in the middle. Here it is right here. Are you fine with that? Walk away clean from there and go, listen, they can go and hire somebody else right now. I'll even make recommendations. Do that shit. Be nice about it. But do that before you get into the whole fucking litigation. Walk away. I've had to walk away too, man. And it's hard because we're constructors, so we want to build things. Building things means start, middle, and finish.
Sure.
So you take away the finish, but the alternative is that time is going to get lost. So you fucking walk away. Walking away is the best thing to do. Take the loss small and move on to the next one. I guarantee you, you'll fucking have another door, another project. It will come down the pipe, no problem at all. I guarantee fucking to you.
Yeah.
That's it, man. Anything else you want to share?
No, thank you, Manny. Thanks for having this conversation.
You
want to
share your information or people first? Or everyone knows it's always being tagged over and over.
Yeah, I'm here for you, folks. Jonathan, jc@jonathansonelli.com. peopleforceleadership.ca. That's how you'll get in touch with me, folks. Anyhow. Thanks, pleasure, man.
Always good to see you.
All right.
We're out of here, man.